Welcome back to Green Lines. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm pretty excited today. Now, you may think that you hear that a lot, and I probably say it about every day or so, because I am excited. The day I'm not excited about a podcast, I shouldn't be in the studio. But I'm really excited when I have someone in here with me, because it's lonely being a podcast man. I got to tell you, you sit here and you look at empty walls and a microphone, and, you know, I got to, like, talk to the microphone and nobody to talk to. And more than that, you know, I've got to try to listen real close on the phone. But today, one of my favorite days, because I have someone with me, but not just anyone, but how about a woman of God, strong and able and competent, hears the voice of God, speaks the voice of God as a prophet. And I'm telling you, a great friend of mine and of the Charisma Podcast Network. You're not going to believe who I have with me in the studio today. It doesn't happen very often that I'm able to get someone here, but it sure doesn't get often when I get to see Michelle McLean Walters here with me live in the studio, and I'm so glad to welcome you here. Michelle, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here with you. It's always a pleasure to be in your company. You always build me up, and I really believe you're like a father. I really believe the scripture says we have many instructors, but not many fathers. So I just really appreciate you and your ministry.
Well, I will tell you this with no hesitation. I don't say anything I don't believe. That, you know, I always want to speak words of life, but I don't have to lie. You know, So when I speak words of life over you, they're just from my heart, from my observation, from my reading of your books. And my goodness, you can write some books. You have put a few out. Tell us about all the books you've written that you remember, certainly in the Anointing series, but you've had others. Just tell us about your writing.
Yes, you know, I'm very excited about the writing. It's another way to get the Word of the Lord out. I've written, actually, with Charisma, I think I've written 12 books. I'm losing count now. But I've written one. My favorite books are this Anointing series, where I've taken women from the Bible and made them relevant for today. I wrote a book called The Esther Anointing, The Deborah Anointing. Actually, right now I'm working on the Sarah Anointing. So I'm very excited about it. Actually, I just believe this is an hour for women where God is really causing Christian women, not just any woman, but the Christian woman. And we have so many powerful examples in the Word of God. So God has just given me a mandate to get their message, and we can find our life through those stories.
Well, you know, Michelle, it wasn't very long ago, just a few months ago, that we celebrated women's suffrage. That, you know, why do we have to have a day where we celebrate the fact that we finally gave women the right to vote? And I don't want to make this political, but at the same time, women are finally being recognized for who they are in the Lord. You know, and we just did an episode about Eve and what she was to Adam. Everybody wants to talk about Eve's sin. They don't want to talk about what she was to Adam, the helpmeet, she was sent here to do.
Exactly.
So what was Esther sent to do?
Esther was sent to the earth to bring relief and deliverance to her people. Actually, God positioned her in a place where she could arise to notoriety. She was in a place where she received the favor of God, and she also paved the way for her people to be saved and delivered. So I'm always excited, and I just want to make a point. I'm glad that you said that you brought up the story of Eve, because I believe it's time for women to understand who our true enemy is.
Yes.
The true enemy is the devil. It's not people, but it's the enemy. It's the devil himself who hates us, because we're the givers of life. We were the way Jesus Christ came into the earth. So I just want women to really understand that this is our time, that God has brought us into the earth for such a time as this, and it's time for us to be equipped, trained, and activated to do everything God has designed us to do.
Yes.
And we're not going to be bitter, and we're not going to be angry. We're going to move forward in the power of God.
Well, today, tomorrow, sometime, we're going to have a woman vice president. How do you feel about that?
I am so excited. I'm excited that we're going to have a woman's vice president. You know, it doesn't matter which way you voted. This is the way it is now.
That's
so what we want to do is pray for our country. I'm just excited that God is bringing women to the forefront, and it's really our time. I believe she's a modern day Esther. I believe God is bringing women even into the political arena. arena, just like Esther. Esther had to stand beside her king, and she gave him wisdom, but she also prepared the way for healing and deliverance. So I'm very excited about having a woman's president.
Well, I think she's going to do a good job, you know, and we have to, like you said, it's a fact now, and we're going to let her do what she does, you know, and within the laws, within how our government works. But at the same time, Esther had to do exactly that. She didn't get to come over and say, okay, here's how we're going to run the house, you know, the palace. She was under palace authority, wasn't she?
Exactly. Actually, Esther's name actually means hidden. She had to stay hidden until it was her time of deliverance to be revealed, I mean. So I just believe it's such a season where God is putting us in some places where we have to move. I call it be the stealthy warrior. You can come into a place and God can put you there and you can learn the system. You can learn the society. And at the right time, God will call you to arise with a strategy, and he'll show you why he brought you into that arena. Because I just believe for such a time as this, it's time for the Esthers to arise.
Michelle, you know, that line, for a time such as this, I've heard it most of my adult career. You have too. And I wonder what they thought of then, at the time this was written, at the time that she was put in place, after she had been prepared and made special and ready for the king's service. It amazes me that they would not have said that at any time. Help me understand, for such a time as this. Now, we know it because we're looking back at it, but how would they know? How do we know today it's for such a time as this? I don't know about you, but I've missed God once or twice.
Yes, you know, I believe, well, what we have always, actually, I state this in the Esther Anointing book. She didn't have a pastor like we do. She didn't even have scripture, but what she had was an unction. I believe she had an unction, but she also had Mordecai. I look at Mordecai as like her mentor, an older person, an older man that caused her to discern the times, to see what was happening in the earth. So when I say for us, we have to discern what's happening. You know, this is not I always say, the scripture is not a fairy tale. It was real life.
It was
a testimony. It was reality. Mm-hmm. And I believe it still speaks to us today because we know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what I feel like it's time for us to do is to discern the time that we're living in. If you can look at the story of Esther and you can clearly compare it to what was happening now, it was a lot of economic unrest. It was a lot of political unrest, just like we're dealing with right now. But the advantage we have is we have the power of the Holy Ghost. As women, we have the power of prayer. God is challenging us to use our voice to stand up and speak. You may not have political authority, but you surely can have spiritual authority.
Always.
And I believe the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous makes tremendous power available. So a part of my mandate is to awaken an army of women that will find their place, but really equip and train them in the place of prayer and learning how to use our prayers effectively in our society today.
Do you have a favorite passage in the book about Esther? Something that, I mean, you're the author. It's hard to remember what we've written, isn't it? People are always surprised, like, you wrote the book, you can't remember it? As a matter of fact, I can't. Let me get my book out and I'll look. But I know you have something in your heart and in your spirit about the book. What fondness, every book you have a fondness for it. I know that. It's like you can hold it and it speaks to you again, as though you're writing it or seeing it for the first time. So what is in the book of Esther that you really hold close to your heart?
She never stepped back from the challenge. Her uncle, well, really, he was her cousin, her older cousin, Mordecai, challenged her to step up. Mm-hmm. And what she didn't do, she didn't step back. She said, okay, I'm going to fast and pray and seek God. I mean, if I would say that was the part of the story that's most like me, I can relate to. A lot of times I had challenges in my life where I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And then instead of just stepping back or not standing up to the challenge, I would seek the Lord. So I really love how Esther said, I'm going to go and I'm going to seek the Lord.
Come on.
I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. And I'm not going to do it by myself. She said, me and my people are going to pray. And I want you and your people. And that really shows the power of partnership. It really shows the power of collaboration. We don't have to be in this fight alone. It's the power to gather. And it's a power. It's the power to pray together. So that's one of the major things I really enjoy about Esther's story is even though things were terrible around her, she leaned into God and she didn't go by herself. She took others with her and she came out with a strategy that brought relief and deliverance to her people.
Yes, ma'am. You know, if we would get us a wheelbarrow full of what you just said and got some of that peace and carried that into Washington, you know, we'd be okay. If we got that collaborative prayer thing going on that you spoke about, you know, that's all we need. We just need everybody to be together. Maybe sing Kumbaya. Maybe that'll work. Or all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let's sing something that gets people to understand what we really are about. Not division, but unity.
Yes.
We have so much division.
Yes.
Why? It's because we like it. There are groups that want to hold on to that division more than they want unity. But I hear the words of this great leader, you, as you speak to us about Esther and think that she was a unifier.
Yes.
That she was bringing people together.
Yes, she was. She was. The scripture says how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that came down on the beard of Aaron. Now, it didn't say like the oil that came down on the beard of Moses. It said Aaron. Why? Because you have to have the priesthood is you serve God and serve man. So you have to have the spirit in your heart, a place of humility in your heart that you're not looking for anything selfish. You're not trying to be self-promoting, but you have to have a heart to serve the will of God. And so I just believe it's going to take humility. We're going to have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt us in due season. But I don't think it's time to just sing Kumbaya. I think it's time for us to declare and pray the word of the Lord, but also to stand up with our voice, either preaching the gospel. We need to, you know, make the name of Jesus famous. I think we've made so many other names famous. And I just believe as women of God, as men of God, it's time to make the name of Jesus famous again.
You know so much about Esther, and I hear you talk about it. It would seem to me that you ought to teach a course in it. You know, wouldn't it be great if we could get you in front of the women of this country to speak and teach about Esther? That if we could find a way in this terrible, disease-ridden country we're in right now, but it's going to pass. We're all going to get shots and get two of them, a double dose of that great anointing medicine, and we're going to get well. We're going to have a good summer, and things are going to get somewhat better in this country, I know. Because it's time. But if we could figure out a way, because you can't travel right now. It's not really smart. We can't get people into a convention hall where you go in and address women, lay hands on them, and get them right where you need them to be. So we got to figure out a way where we can have you teach this great lessons that you know about Esther. And I think we know a way.
Yes.
And I believe you've already got the work done.
Yes.
And it's about online education, or particularly an e-course. So I know you've already written your e-course, you filmed it, it's ready.
Yes.
And so I can't wait to hear about, and I know my audience is just biting their fingernails, wait for me to shut up and let you talk. Tell us about this Esther Anointing e-course.
Yes, I'm so excited about this e-course. I mean, I just first want to say this to all of the listeners. You've supported me so well with purchasing the Esther book. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for your support. And so what I did was, I really believe this book is for such a time as this. So what I've done is I created a workbook to go along with the book.
Good for you.
And then we also have a an e-course that's full of six sessions. You're going to get six sessions with me teaching on how to discover your destiny, how to destroy the giants that stop you. But also, it's a time that's going to be of activation. I'm going to avail myself for questions and answers to all of those that purchase the course. We have several days that are going to be set up where you'll be able to actually engage with me around the course.
Wow.
So I am very excited about this because I do believe we have to pivot, because now it's on the e-course, and we have to do things with technology. So we can't gather together, because I've also had gatherings where women can come together, but this time I'm coming to you. I'll be right there in your living room, and you'll be able to listen to the teachings. You'll be able to jot down your questions, and we'll have set times where I'm going to come on live, and I really want to engage my audience.
Well, I'm excited. I've got so many questions about how this works. And let me ask you something I know my audience is asking. How do I connect with you on computer to get this course? What do you have to do?
Okay, what you have to do is you can go to MichelleMcLeanWalters.com, and you'll be able to find, you'll find a link where you can purchase the e-course. That it is a price. You have to purchase the e-course, and then once you purchase the e-course, you'll get access to an e-book, and you'll also get access to a workbook as well. So not only do you, if you don't have the book as of yet, if this is your first time hearing about the Esther Anointing, you'll be able to get the book as well as a workbook, and we have different activations that we'll take you through. And then what else happens is then I'll come on and you write down your questions, so you'll get a chance to interact with me around the information.
You're actually teaching in the course.
Yes, I'm lecturing. I'm making decrees and affirmations.
Oh my.
Actually, what I'm doing is really taking you by the hand and walking you through the material. And I really love to do that, because I'm actually not just an author, I'm an equipper. And I love to equip and activate people, take you through a process of how you can discover your purpose. I really believe, like Esther, she didn't decide her purpose, she discovered it. You know,
yes.
She was in, from my view, I believe that Esther was not in a beauty contest like we all hear it preached. I really believe she got in a situation where she was in a harem. I believe it's equivalent to today sex trafficking. And I just believe, but God, he redeemed her. The entire story of Esther is about a reversal of destiny, a reversal of time. So even though your situation may look, you know, difficult, you may be looking like, why am I here? I like to teach identity. I want to lead you through a path of how you can discover who you are, why you're here, and actually give you some tools on how you can begin to implement your call and destiny in the earth.
So does that mean I've got to show up for class at a certain time every day, and I got to like behave and stuff and not chew gum and listen to you teach, take notes and pass a test? I mean, am I in school?
Actually, it's not a school. You'll be able to listen to it at your leisure. That's the great thing about it. We don't have to put on our makeup. We don't have to do our hair if we don't want
to. I'm so glad to hear that.
We can put our comfy pajamas on and you can listen to the teaching. It's like I said, it's broken down into 6 sessions. It also have questions at the end of every session. Also, we're going to come together. We're going to set a time, and we're going to come together, and I'll be able to answer your question. But this is all done at your leisure.
That sounds exciting. And at leisure could mean I can listen to you 2 or 3 times today, all 6 times, listen again tomorrow.
Yes.
You know, how many times can I listen to the training?
You can listen. It's yours. If once you purchase it, you can listen to it, and you can even pass it on to your children and your children's children if you desire.
Well, that'd be good.
Yes.
The generational impact you're making.
Amen.
All right. So what's the average listener going to learn? What do you think when they've listened to all 6 classes, they get out their Kleenex and wipe their eyes, and they're going to get moved. I know you. I know when you speak, people that they get touched by the Lord and through you as a change agent, because that's who you are.
Yes.
You help people, you impact them. What do you think they're going to take away? How's their life going to change?
One of the things I feel like they'll take away is they'll embrace their femininity. The major thing I believe Esther was, she was beautiful, but I believe God used it for his glory. Also, I really believe I take you through a process of where you can identify your personal giants, and not only identify them, but destroy them. But the ultimate thing I want the women to take away is you're God's secret weapon. You have a voice, and God wants you to use it, but not just use it boldly.
Hmm. So are they going to be making a difference in their church?
they can make a difference wherever they are.
And maybe it's not, home.
And not, yes, I was going to say it's not necessarily just in the church. I just believe every woman is a living legend. And I just believe God is redefining greatness in our generation. Greatness is how powerful we can serve another our generation. Mm-hmm. So I just believe that God is just shifting what it means to be called of God. He's shifting, you know, it's not just about the woman in the pulpit, but it's the woman that serves at PTA. It's the woman who prays in the church. God is changing our focus from ourselves and our inabilities to showing us what we can do with His power, with His grace, and with His assignment.
Amen. So you're also sending a workbook with this. I know they get a copy of the book and a workbook.
Actually, they get an ebook. They get a copy of the book in ebook form.
Okay, that's good.
And they also get the workbook in ebook form. It's the workbook is just like a study guide to kind of take you through the teachings, so you can just give you some thought behind it. You know, many times we read material and we process it through what we understand. We based on where we've been and whether our strengths or our weaknesses. So what I want to do is really help you. I want to tell my story. I want to engage with people past just reading the book, because I believe in implementation. Not only do we read it, we study, we want to activate, but help you to implement the information that's in the book.
Yes, ma'am. So tell me, you said six different sessions with you, and then you're going to come in later and answer questions after every session? You're going to be available overall, or just like you're going to let us know when you're coming on and we get to log on and ask questions?
Yes. Well, everyone, you'll be grafted into a community. Once you purchase the e-course, you'll be grafted into a community. There'll be a place for you to go to a private Facebook group, but also where we can continue the conversation. So I think it's set up. We're really working those things out, to be honest. So sure. I think it's after the first two sessions. The first 2 weeks after the initial launch, which will be next week, then we'll have a question and answer. So it will come in like every 2 weeks until.
Sounds good. I would imagine that everyone would like to come in and be able to talk with you. And they've read your books. Many of our audience have read everything you've written.
Yes.
And they'd like to come in and ask you some questions, particularly about Esther, because I think women really, in their way, look up to what she did and what she accomplished. So as we think about the course content, why don't we take a little quick trip through all six units and tell us what we're going to learn in each of those classes?
Sure. The first unit is called Awakening to Your Destiny. You were created for more. So really what I do is I kind of preach really the first session. I really love the first session. And it's really a time where I begin to show you what God's assignment is on your life, and also to understand that you are created for more. And then we take you through a process of identifying what has God said to you. You know, how do I, you know, we hear people say, women arise, women awake. But how do I decide what to arise to? But I believe we have to first be awakened. You have to be awakened to the voice of the Lord. And I don't believe God speaks silently. When God is trying to awaken you to His assignment in your life, you'll get a continual conviction about a certain topic.
Yeah.
Everywhere you turn, you hear something. Let's say for me, I've been called to women. I've been called to help women move into the fullness of who they are. So everything for a season in my life was all about women. God started talking to me about women. I start having dreams about them. So that's how I was able to know that He's awakening my heart, and you get a different passion. So I take you through a series of events that work for me and to be awakened to the call of God. And then the second one, we talk about identifying the giants that stop you from moving forward. Mm-hmm. And this session is simply about deliverance. You know, the enemies of our soul, because, right, we've always had to fight. You know, the enemy hates us. You know,
right.
The scripture even tells us that God, the enemy will bruise our heel, but we're going to stomp him on the head. So I just go through some of the giants that, you know, that we face. But the major point I want people to understand is that the enemy, it's not men. It's not the woman sitting next to you. Our enemy is the devil, and it's really time for us to destroy him. to really destroy him. And then there's another session. I talk about stepping out of the comfort zone. Really, it's time for us to step out of our comfort zone and really deal with fear. Fear of speaking. You know, a lot of times we're our worst enemy. So I take you through a process of being delivered from the spirit of fear. And then the other one is boldness. I really talk a lot about boldness. And I just believe God is causing a new level of unity between men and women. You know, Esther had what I call mentors. She had male mentors. Yes, we want to have women are our primary mentors. But if you look at it, it was Hagag, the eunuch that helped her. Also, her Mordecai. Mordecai helped her as well, her cousin. So I'm very excited about that. So those are the things we talk about. We take you through step by step. You'll be able to ask questions. You'll not only that, I believe you'll be charged, challenged, and changed to affect your society.
I love it. It sounds like a great course. And we got a pretty good professor, the person who wrote the book. It's always better when the writer of the book is the professor. I love that. But this is just you being you and speaking with the anointing that the Lord has given you to write this series.
Yes.
And to really fire up women who really need to get out of their comfort zone and come on, because there's so much to do. Let me ask you a question from a man's perspective. What would you think of a husband and wife taking it together, and me supporting my wife by taking notes with her, studying with her, and encouraging her? How do you think that would work?
It would be awesome for men to take it as well, because I believe God is making room in the hearts of men for women to lead. Mm-hmm. So I believe if a man was to take the course, I'm actually teaching principles and concepts that any Christian could apply, but I'm doing it through the context of the Esther anointing. So I believe a man would be able to get God's heart for women,
sure,
and also to understand their plight and the things that they've had to suffer. I am a proponent of unity. These courses I'm not talking from a bitter place, an angry place.
Not you.
But I'm empowering women to change, because the reality is that women have suffered terrible things by the hand of men, whether it's through religion or religious fear. So I'm not negating that, but I'm telling women, yes, that's happened, but we have to get over it. We still have to be a Christian and forgive. But I'm also challenging men to make room in their heart. Don't negate the fact that women are not called. Women are called, but we just want to, express it in feminine form. Yeah. I really talk about femininity, because I believe that whole process with Esther going through she had to go through a beauty process where God had
perfuming.
She went through a perfuming session where she had to be healed. She had to have 6 months where she had to wash in what's called myrrh. And myrrh is symbolic of bitterness. So I teach it from a perspective that first 6 months of the process, she had to be healed of all of the bitterness, the anger, the pain. But the next 6 months, she went through a perfuming where she had to, there was all different types of perfume. And I teach this to women, the power of their perfume. I believe every woman has a different fragrance. Just like you have different perfumes, every woman has a different fragrance. They have the good, the bad, the sweet, the bitter, which makes up who they are. So I really teach women to develop your uniqueness, but also for men to receive them.
You got to get that Chanel number 5 going on, right?
Come on here. Yes.
Well, you know, I'm asking about men going through this course with their women just so they can understand some of the hurt that comes out, some of the things that'll bubble up and bubble out.
Yes.
And get out of them. But I'm also thinking about the vice president's first gentleman. You know, first time in our history that we'll have a man that has to understand what it's going to be like to be a supporting mate, someone who's also an attorney, a very strong man, very gentlemanly, seems like a very kind man, very humble. But at the same time, he's going to do a lot more than decorate the house.
Exactly. You know, I really feel like God needs to awaken. Sometimes we know, but then there's an anointing that comes that really enlightens the eyes of your understanding. Mm. So I just believe if a man was to watch this with his wife, or just the Esther anointing, understanding it, it's the enlighten the eyes of your understanding. It's the spirit of revelation. The Holy Spirit will begin to show you from a different perspective. That way you can identify and even have compassion and be moved with compassion to pray with women. Because mm-hmm. I believe what God is doing, I call them power couples, whether they're married or if it's a man and a woman working together, even in the kingdom. I just believe two is better than one. Amen. You know, if you look at Deborah and Barak, it was her wisdom, her mother's love that even encouraged Barak to go into war. She went with him. She didn't usurp his authority, but it was her mother's anointing, her soldier's heart, that caused him to move forward in ministry. So it was with Mordecai. Mordecai loved loved Esther, and so he began to encourage her. He encouraged her. He challenged her. I believe he knew that she was an orphan and she suffered a lot with fear. So he began to challenge her very strongly, and he said, "Listen, relief and deliverance will come from God. You and your family will fail, but God will bring relief and deliverance." So I just feel like men see things differently than women, because that's the way God made it. We're nurturers. We tend to shy back sometimes, but men see life differently than women. But when we put it together, we operate in the fullness of God's image. Yes. So I really teach from that perspective. So I would encourage men to really listen to a lot of the series and even read the books that I have, because we're here, and you need to understand who we are so you can be a part of God's story to promote women.
As a leader of the home, as a leader of a business, we've got to speak into the lives of women. We've got to perhaps report to them in a business organization or in a church organization, report to them in a very professional, elegant manner, to where we respect the voice of a woman mm-hmm. over a matter, and nothing's just a man thing. You know, it's a us thing. If we get this right, it's our team, it's our organization. And the more of that we get, I think the more things will settle in and we'll get right. So I'd like you to hear what you see for the rest of this year. You're a prophet. You look forward into this year. You have some ideas in your heart already about what 21 is going to look like. What's the Lord been showing you, and how are you feeling in your spirit about 21.
I really feel like this is going to be a year where God is really awakening us to his true purpose. We've heard 2020, it's hindsight is 2020. I think it's important that we look back to 2020 and look at what's been shaken. You know, the scripture tells us God's going to shake everything that can be shaken, and only the things that he's planted is going to remain. And then it says, see that you don't refuse him. So what I'm saying is, for the first 3 months of the year, that we should look at and take a good survey of what has God shaken and what's remained. And I also believe it's a season that we must allow the spirit of pride. I believe the spirit of pride is moving throughout the land, and God really wants to humble his people. We must humble ourselves under his mighty hand, and he's going to exalt us in due season. Also, I believe it's going to be a time of tremendous blessing. I mean, the blessing of the Lord mm-hmm. that makes rich and add no sorrow to it. I believe the Josephs are arising with new strategies and new plans that's going to affect the next 7 years of our lives. But we have to work. This is what God really told me about the body of Christ. Many of us, we love the spiritual side. Mm-hmm. We love the spiritual. We love to be in the spirit. We love to hear the strategy, but we don't like the work. But God is saying we have to look at the principal parts, the principles in our lives. I believe new businesses are going to be birthed, but I also feel like new anointings are coming forth. So what I would say for those that are listening to me, check out what's remained in your life. Yeah. We have 2020 as hindsight. Let's take some perspectives. Let's look at what God is removing and what's not working. And also, I would say, just to move into a new place of humility, and really don't apologize for the favor that's on your life, and don't Amen. Apologize for the anointing that's on your life. Mm-hmm. I believe there's a tremendous amount of anointing that's being released in this hour, where God is bringing new voices to the forefront. But we must first stand, be bold, and allow him to remove things that's not good for, how can I say it? I like Dr. Cindy Trim. She uses the word pivot.
I think Trim.
It's, yes, I love her. It's time to pivot. Let's not hold on to the past and let's move forward with the future.
Well, I want to add to what you've said, not speak on top of the prophecy here, but I want to say to you that it's not just about new anointing for a new person. It's about a new anointing for one who's already anointed, but to come into a greater anointing.
Yes.
That I still think there's time for the generals of the faith, of which you're there. You're doing some serious leading, and your books are strong and material and competent and scriptural and a lot of other adjectives I could put on it without having to do creative writing. I'm just saying to you that if one can come into her first anointing, that first wave has hit, you got a lot of waves coming your way.
Yes.
And God's just never going to let us stay the same. You know, if you had a double portion, it wouldn't be enough. If you're called to have a triple portion or a 10 times the anointing, I just believe God's a multiplier.
You know, actually, the Lord gave me this phrase. He said, bigger, better, stronger, mega. So
mega.
There is a mega anointing. Mega is the Greek word for great.
Yes.
So I just believe God is going to bring a greater anointing on our lives. But we first have to let him circumcise those things that he's shaking. We have to allow him to remove those things so we can have a better view. God wants to give us bigger things, but it's not to heap upon ourselves. I believe the expression of Christianity has changed in our generation.
Yes.
He's really concerned about evangelism. He's also concerned about the loss. I really believe there's going to be a greater emphasis on missions. We have to become distribution centers again. I think the church, it's time for us to move forward. The glory of God is coming. But I believe the glory is not just for us to shake and quake in the church. It's going to be found on the streets of America. I believe the healing anointing, the anointing for deliverance, it's really coming. And God's going to fund, I really believe he's going to bring great provision to those who have a vision to touch their city, and not just touch it through praise and worship, which is good, and it's also good to have great services. I'm talking about boots on the ground. I'm talking about outside.
Work.
Yes, work. That apostolic grace to work.
Well, let me say one other thing, that mega is a lot more than just the anointing, that when you have a mega anointing, what usually follows is a mega audience. So I'm going to pray that over you, and
yes,
specifically ask the Lord for your mega audience. You already have a good size one. I mean, you've got 20, 30,000 people that listen to this podcast.
Yes.
And that's not all your audience. That's just some that happen to catch you on a podcast. But, ma'am, I want to tell you that mega audience follows content that is inspired by God and anointed in a mega way. So we're praying that over you as well, and we'll speak
yes
that over you. But before we end this podcast, and we need to because we're out of time, I want us to find out how to get this course. We can just Google your name, right?
Yes, you can go to MichelleMcLeanWalters.com. You can Google my name, MichelleMcLeanWalters.com.
And that's hyphenated, so that's...
No, it's not hyphenated.
You don't have to do that?
No, you don't have to do that. MichelleMcLeanWalters.com. And there will be a link on the website where you can click and you can download you can register for the course.
So it's real easy.
It's very easy. And also, we have a Facebook group. It's called the Esther Anointing Facebook.
Good.
It's a private group because we want to build a community. I really want to make myself available to those that are called to me. I've always been a transparent leader. I like to do it like Jesus. He walked among his people. They were able to touch him. So I really want to want to use technology to create somewhat of a digital tabernacle for women where
yes
I can impart, they can ask me questions. So I'm very excited about that.
I am too, and I'm so blessed to know you and that you're doing this kind of work for women, that you've been called to do it.
Yes.
You're chosen. You're selected. You're anointed. You've got the message. God's dropped it on you, and you heard him clearly, and you're such an excellent writer that so many people love your work and want to continue to read it. So we're going to say that even today, if they come to your website, they can be taking your course just after lunch today, right?
Yes.
They can go get it.
Yes, sir.
And that's
thank
pretty exciting.
You.
That's what's good about this, about a digital course. You can have it right now.
Yes.
Just get it, start your study, and Michelle will be in touch with you to let you know by email when she's going to be available to answer questions.
Exactly.
So that's so exciting.
Thank you so much.
So let's close with your favorite, let's just call it your life verse, something that when times are good, you go to it. When times are bad, you go to it. It's a verse that instructs you, informs you, reminds you of all that Jesus is in your life and the power of the Holy Spirit that drives you to continue to write and to speak. What's your life verse?
My life verse is Acts 17:26. It says, "In him we live and move and have our being." So when it's times are hard for me, I have to remember, I have to go back to the life source. It's in God. It's in Christ, in him. He's preappointed my times and the boundaries of my dwelling. He knows why I'm here in the earth. He knows where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to be there, and how I'm supposed to do it. So that's my life verse. It's in him I live and I move and I have my being. Everything is in him.
Amen. And that's something Esther could have said. That could have been her life verse real easy.
Exactly.
Had she seen it, right?
Amen.
Michelle, thanks for, I mean, you had to travel to get into the studio today. And we just appreciate you so much showing up live and being a part of our podcast. You're always welcome in the studio. Anytime the Lord is speaking to you, we want you behind a microphone.
Yes,
we'd love to have you here. And even if it's just fresh and God's got something burning in you and you want to come talk to your girls and your women and speak to them, you're welcome here anytime.
Thank you, sir. I'll come.
The Course, one more time, is by Michelle McLean Walters. You can find it. It's about the Esther anointing. It's a wonderful course. Her books are there. You won't have any trouble finding anything. You want more of what you just heard? You want to go deep with her? Just follow that, MichelleMcLeanWalters.com.
Yes.
And you'll find her stuff. And I'm telling you what, get ready. Sit still because it's going to come. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm excited. I'm pumped. I want to go download the course. I guess I can sneak in and use my wife's name and they'll let me in.
No, you can download it.
I want to study it because I've read your books. I get it already. So on behalf of my producer, Adley, we want to say to all of you, thanks for tuning in. We say it to everyone at the end of every show when we remember that Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Don't you want some of that abundantly? It's available. Michelle McLean Walters has got it for you. It's in the Esther Anointing. That course is available to you right now. Download it now, the Esther Anointing. This is Charisma Podcast Network and the Green Lines Podcast. God bless you all.